Just text with Casey there a few minutes ago. He was, at least at the time of our text exchange, was the last commercial break. He was still at Media Day. He was hoping to see a couple of more guys before he left. But Casey is definitely on his way in here. And we'll just kind of hit a soft reset button when Casey gets in, because I'm sure he's going to want to talk about his 49ers. And I'm sure he's going to want to talk about that trade that happened on Friday night involving the Minnesota Timberwolves and the New York Knicks. And most importantly, with practice beginning tomorrow, how does that trade, particularly the Minnesota portion, affect our Sacramento Kings? So we got all of that coming up. I believe James Hamm will be with us at some point in the 3 o'clock hour. I assume he's going to come here in the studio, but not really sure what James is doing today. A couple of NFL things that we haven't touched on. And if anything happens at Media Day, as a matter of fact, let me get a quick refresh to make sure we haven't missed De'Aaron or anyone like that. Quick peek over here at Sean. Well, I see Terry Taylor. Yeah, we'll hold off on Terry Taylor.
Terry Taylor cooler than Terry Bollea.
Way cooler. Terry Bollea sucks.
That guy stinks.
He is just an awful, awful person. I do have an answer to that last question that they asked everybody, though. And I do appreciate the fact that they asked, like, The Undertaker and Booker T, and I think your boy Terry, what is Vince McMahon's legacy? And then they put the year in which they asked him, and none of them appear to have been after all of this stuff became public. That documentary was terrible, and Vince McMahon's legacy is very simple. It's wrestling. Vince McMahon's legacy is professional wrestling. He completely changed the presentation of that sport entertainment spectacle. He completely reinvented something that had been on television for 30 some odd years at that point. He completely changed it. His legacy is professional wrestling. He just turns out to be an absolutely awful human being. Just awful.
Was the point of that doc to praise him?
No.
He doesn't really come off like...
He doesn't... Here's the problem with like us. I don't know what someone who maybe, because a lot of people, I've sat down and watched documentaries about stuff I don't really know a lot about, and I learned something. I don't know what someone watching that documentary learn who doesn't know about Vince McMahon learns about him.
I feel like if you were to just watch it for the first time, not even know anything about wrestling, it's like, oh yeah, this guy's got some stuff in his past or whatever. Well, like he's dealt with, but like also like the wrestling stuff. It doesn't even like.
But they didn't
focus
really
in.
Give us any of that.
That's what I'm saying.
Like it was like one word mentions. It was like alluding to something that happened in his past, rather than actually saying it.
Exactly.
And not that type of stuff factors into what's happening right now. And I don't know. It just I don't know what. I guess you can walk away from it going, he's like a maniacal businessman. He maybe isn't particularly the best person. But I'm not sure. I don't know what to do with any of that. I just thought the documentary.
Wrestling's weird, man.
I forced myself to finish that documentary on Saturday morning.
I couldn't do it. I was like, I think awful. I finished episode 3. I was like, there's no reason for me to just avoid anything else going on. I know everything that's going to happen on this
and you're right. Like, there's nothing there. The Shane McMahon stuff is pretty interesting. They completely gloss over his daughter marrying a professional wrestler. Like, they mention it. Like, they talk about it. But it's like 5 minutes. It's like that feels really significant. They don't really do a lot of Stephanie Hunter Shane dynamics, which Stephanie and Hunter get married. Shane leaves shortly thereafter. It's hard to not think those two are related, but it It's not there. And the dumbest part of it, it just goes to show you how stupid the whole documentary was. They asked Stephanie, is there any idea that you've ever nixed? She has talked about this idea on camera before and says in this instance, well, there's one I'm not going to name. Jump cut to Vince McMahon talking about how his character was going to impregnate his daughter. It was just so poorly done. Just an absolute, from a documentary standpoint, just absolutely awful.
The way I see it, so we'll never know like the real truths about wrestling and all that stuff. No. They all kind of protect each other.
Well, we'll never know the truth about him.
Yeah.
That's what I think it really boils down to, is we'll never know the truth about him. Looks like DeMar DeRozan is speaking to the media now, or at the very least wrapping up conversations with the media right now. We will. Oh, wait a minute. What's this? Draymond Green gets into it with a reporter.
I was watching that earlier.
Is it worth watching?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Okay, all right. Just inject this into my veins. Give me 2 seconds. I just caught the headline. Now I got to go to Awful Announcing and then find the actual post.
Bleacher Report might have had it too, I think.
Oh, the post isn't even. Oh, there it is. Yep. I got it. Looks like KNBR
people worry about
has
you.
It. Oh, yeah. Give me the one fans. Second. Hold on. Oh, I'm struggling. Hold up. Your boy's struggling. Hang on. There we go. All right. Draymond Green. My man. Oh, I missed him.
Maybe your teammates.
Why they worry about me? I am a successful black man in America doing incredibly well. What's the worry?
They worry
about me?
About you.
There are way more people in this world to worry about than me. That's right. For sure.
But we're here now. So
we're all here. I don't think you should worry about me.
Okay.
I'm doing pretty well. If you would have told me when I was 13 years old in Saginaw, Michigan, without a pot to piss in, that you'd be sitting here and somebody would say they're worried about you, I would have probably told them they were out of their mind. I'd be sitting here and they'd be worried about me.
Well, they're worried from themselves too. They want to know.
They don't feed
they
them
know the team
this,
needs
so why
you.
Are they worried?
Because they know the team needs you.
But they don't feed
and
them
they don't know if
their
you're
family's
be here.
Doing this. I'm here. I've been here for 13 years now.
If you're going to be here every night.
Been here pretty much every night for 13 years.
Well, that's not even remotely true.
Very much so.
No, it's not.
We all have. Look, Kevon Looney played 82 games 2 years in a row, and everybody was celebrating. We all miss games.
No, what I'm talking about, they want to know if you're going to be here, like, mentally.
I'm always here. And suspensions, the guideline of getting suspended is something that's in place because it's a possibility.
Oh, so, this dude.
Nothing changed in that respect.
I don't know what would change. Well, I don't get the question. I think my mindset has helped us do some great things. That's pretty cool. So, it's all about how you spin it. I love how you try and spin it, but it ain't my spin to it, player. So, yeah, it's good.
Okay. I love that your boy... just like he didn't understand the question.
Like he did, but he's being difficult.
Like he acted like he did not know that the guy was asking him about his tendency to get suspended.
Draymond, the guys are worried if you're going to get suspended or not this season.
Bro, let's be clear, Draymond. You're the guy who we were trying to figure out whether your first game back from suspension was against Sacramento, and we realized we had looked up the wrong suspension. The wrong suspension in the same year. What? Bruh. What was the first suspension for again that he came back against Sacramento?
He choked Rudy out.
Rudy, that's right. That's what it was. He choked Rudy Gobert out, and then the other one was the Yusuf Nurkic. Soren's right. Draymond, are you going to get suspended again? I'm a successful black man in America. All right, well, good for you. Okay.
What's Kevon Looney have to do with anything, too?
Don't drag Kevon Looney.
Yeah, what does Kevon Looney have to do with this?
Talk about Kevon Looney playing 82 games. Oh. It's the first day.
That's the thing. We're already starting off today like this.
It's the first day of school. Unbelievable.
Good luck, Steph.
Drew down. It's your boy. Come on, man. We'll come back. KC will join us here in a little bit. He'll make his return for Media Day. It looks like DeMar DeRozan spoke to the media just a few minutes ago. We will bring you whatever sound from that we can. And there were some prove it games. There were some prove it games in the NFL this weekend. And a couple of teams proved it. We'll talk about it. Stilo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Expecting KC to return here in just a little bit. He's wrapping up at Media Day. As Media Day is wrapping up, and DeMar DeRozan spoke just a few moments ago. This courtesy of our friend Sean Cunningham at Fox 40.
You know, first and foremost, looking forward to just getting out there on the court with these guys, man.
How was the book tour?
Exhausting.
Yeah.
It was exhausting. It was something new. It was something new for me, but it was cool. It was a heck of an experience doing something outside of my norm, but I enjoyed it.
Did you expect the reaction from what the book has brought to a lot of people?
It's crazy because doing it, I was nervous. Like I was more so nervous and not knowing what to expect. You know, I never would have thought I would have did a book ever in my life. So to do that, it was something new. So once I got past those jitters and you start to get, you know, the reception from the book, it was like, oh damn, you liked it, you know what I mean? So it was good, man. I was happy for it.
DeMar, what did you finally get?
Discussions been like with Mike Brown as far as trying to get you acclimated into the system?
I mean, I'm simple, man. I always let it be, you know, whatever you need from me, however you need it, just let me know. You know, I never put too much thought process into it. You know, I love the game of basketball. I'm gonna figure it out best way I can. Individually and as a team, you know. So to me, I just keep it simple. Whatever you need from me, let me know.
DeMar, I did. How long did?
The coach's new motto.
Yeah. And the speaker we had yesterday was incredible. You know, I wouldn't climb a mountain, but that's why we have metaphors and all that where we could use. So you know, tomorrow is us climbing that mountain. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's how long did it take you to finally
really want you to go climb a mountain?
No. There's no air up there.
Did you? When did you finally get maybe settled into Sacramento after this busy summer?
I haven't yet.
Right.
Yeah. I'm used this week to, you know, get settled too. You know, kind of just being here. Don't have to worry about nothing but basketball and, you know, getting situated now. So over the next week or two, you know, I'm gonna be doing those two things.
Coming out west from the Eastern Conference, you know how wild it is just in this conference in general, but you've also shared you're here to win. You're here because you believe you have the best chance to win here.
For sure.
Just what's your thought on how difficult this conference is going to be, but how difficult the Kings are going to be as well?
I mean, I played in the West 3 years when I was in San Antonio. I mean, to me, you want that as a competitor. You want to be placed in the toughest, you know, competition. It brings the best out of you. You know, I'm looking forward to that. These guys are extremely talented. They want to win from top to bottom, from the fan base to, you know, everybody. You know, when you see something like that, you want to be a part of that. And, you know, for me, I'm looking forward to just, you know, bringing it every single night.
Does it feel more loaded this year?
Yeah, I love that. You know, it, like, for me as a competitor, looking at that, you look at it like, yeah, that's what you want. You know, you want that every single night. So to me, I was more so excited, you know, coming back west, being a part of that.
DeMar, how much do you take it upon yourself to kind of be a tone setter and a
a guy who leads, and how do you do that?
I mean, that's my, that's always been my job, try to lead by example. Sometimes, I'm not the most talkative at times, but I'm the one that every single day, what you're going to get from me in every single way. And that's to, lead by example, and with that, leaving it all out there on the line, competing at the highest level. I'm a dog when it comes to that. I just want to win.
How exciting is it to lead in the things? How exciting is it to be able to be one of the guys that's going to help King Murray, the young player?
I'm looking forward to that. I ain't gonna lie, I'm looking forward to that, because even looking at him, I was the same way when I was young, quiet, didn't say much, just kind of went along with the flow. But that kid got a lot of talent, so it's gonna be fun just to be able to be a vet to him and kind of get him out of his comfort zone and take him to the next level.
Of course, every game's important, but it feels like now, with how close the conference was last year, just every game carries a tremendous amount of weight. From your experience just being in the league, as long as you have the parity in the league right now and how good it seems like everybody is, how fun and exciting is that as a competitor?
Like I said, that's what you want. You don't want no easy day off. A true competitor don't. You want to test yourself, and you want the best to come out of you every single day. It's fun being in this conference. I'm looking forward to it. I think, look, one out of 15 teams in this conference, 14 of them, solid, anything can happen. And with that, you can't take no nights off. You shouldn't want to. But being in this situation and make you look forward to not taking a night off.
Did playing along Kobe and Vucevic give you maybe a little bit of a peek of what it would be like to play with Domas and Fox?
I don't know, it was crazy. I just always been fortunate to play with a lot of talented guys, and I always look forward to whoever that next set of guys are. I look forward to just, locking into them. Playing with Kobe and Vooch was fun, it was exciting, but, I never thought the two was the same, looking at De'Aaron and Sabonis. So it's like, I never compared the two,
With this being your fourth team, how much do you find there to be like an adjustment period going into a new group, and does it vary?
I think the only thing that's an adjustment for me is getting acclimated in the house. When it's all said and done, it's like I've been around so long. Like Jay Triano was my first head coach. I don't need to meet him. I remember when I was a kid. Barbosa, that was my vet when I played in Toronto. Doug Christie, I'd have known since I was in high school. All these guys here, I competed against them probably. Everybody on the team, they whole career. So, you kind of got to feel and understand everybody's talent. So for me, it's not really adjustment. It's just more so like, just let's get to work and let's see how quick we can get this thing going.
We saw you and Sabonis work out at SC. What was valuable about that experience, just to spend some time with them on the court and off the court?
I think it was special off the court, the communication we had, being on the same page right away, talking about having the same feeling, understanding how we can help one another, but also helping other guys. What was missing from the previous year, what was needed, how we could fill this void. It was just crazy how quick we was problem solving things on the go. Obviously, working out on the court, that was the easy part. That was fun. But the communication, that came from it, was made me even more excited, looking forward to tomorrow.
What do you think?
DeMar DeRozan in a Kings uniform right there, holding court at Media Day as Media Day begins to wrap up. I think I actually just saw Sean Cunningham may have posted something with Malik Monk. So we'll break down some of what DeMar DeRozan said there. We'll check in now with Malik Monk, Kings Media Day. Season practice gets underway tomorrow.
Nice to have a guy like DeMar who can bring that as well and sort of add just one more body.
1,000%. Yeah, it's super nice. And he's a willing passer to it. So he's not selfish. He never just looks to score. He always looks for his teammates too. So, yeah, it's always nice to add another addition.
So you played against him a lot. Like, just what have some of your interactions been with him against him, and now that he's on the same squad as you?
Against him, it was always telling him to stop making all them shots. But now I'm telling him to keep making them. So it's always good to have a future Hall of Famer on the team.
skill set wise, how do you think he kind of diversifies into your guys' offense?
I think he's going to draw a lot of defenders to give me and Fox, Keegan, Kev open shots way more than we had previous years.
Was this a life-changing summer?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. How much did you just enjoy it once you had contract thing out of the way? What was
kind of... That's all I've been doing, man, enjoying.
Yeah.
Enjoying summer. Working out and enjoying.
How much does that help getting an escape like that and experiencing what you've been able to experience kind of set the table for what's ahead for you?
It just shows the sky's the limit, that you can achieve more too. So I just, like you said, I just sit back and just thought about the ways I got here, thought about the struggles I had, and I can let them go now and pick up some new struggles. So yeah, man, it's life-changing for sure.
What's the feeling to walk in here today, that uniform on, knowing that you know, you have that business behind you, you made a decision to stay here and make this a long-term home for yourself?
I'm home now. That's what it felt like. And I'm going to continue to feel like that. So, happy.
You feel that in the community, too, and within the
organization? Yeah, I felt that before. I felt that before the contract. And I definitely feel it now. So, yeah.
Malik, there's a little bit of a log jam at that shooting guard position.
Where?
You talking about Kevin, Keon, yourself? Like, do you care?
I ain't a shooting guard.
Okay,
so
guard.
So you can't put me in there.
Okay.
Yep. So, no, we're not.
No. Nope. No issue whatsoever?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the other one was for just expectations. Just where can this team, where can it go this year?
Yeah, man. I've been saying in all the interviews, I seen DeMar say we're going to the Western Conference Finals on the podcast, so I got to, I guess I got to say that too.
Malik, was there anything that you focused on this offseason with your game?
Nope.
Everything?
Nope.
Nothing else?
No. Malik, what time? We're coming up short of last year on the six-man award. That brings another chip on your shoulder coming into this season? Nope. Forget about it.
Malik, what's your impression so far of DeMar and just like his presence and what he might bring to the team in terms of leadership and setting a tone?
Like you said, his presence is a leader. He comes in and you feel it. You feel that he's a leader. He says the thing that a leader says. So we're just going to get behind him and follow him.
You said you're not a shooting guard. What do you call yourself?
A guard.
Just a guard.
I love that dude, man. Oh, I love that dude. He's the most just like easygoing, just the most chill, you know, player in front of a microphone. You never have to wonder, like, hey, what did Malik mean when he said dot, dot, dot? Like, you never have to wonder that. Like, you know exactly what Malik means when he talks because he says it. As Tyler says, that monk swag on 100,000 trillion. That's a shoot. My man don't have a care in the world. I love that. Love that about Malik. Said he's not a shooting guard. He's a guard, meaning he can do everything out there as a one or as a two. The fact that he openly acknowledged this was a life-changing summer for him is pretty dope as well. Because it was like this was a guy who didn't see the end of his rookie contract with Charlotte or didn't get a rookie extension with Charlotte, winds up with the Lakers, plays really well. Lakers can't afford him. He winds up here in Sacramento on what is pretty much a kind of a prove it deal. Improves it. And believes that he's found a home here in Sacramento. He might go down as one of the most, if this thing plays out the way I think a lot of us think it will, he might go down as he's going, because I think Bobby is really, really, really high on the list of most beloved Kings. If he's not really high, he might be at the, like, he might be at the top of the list. The city still loves them some Bobby Jackson. Man, Malik might take that. Malik might take that mantle and own it. I love the fact that he's not thinking about the six-man award. He said, forgot about it, on to the next. That's good stuff, and you can hear... Sorry, Jesse, go ahead.
Well, Malik, you think there's another level for him to hit, or you think it's just Because last year was the best year of his career. You think it's just going to be more of that?
I do actually think there's another level. I think regardless of what happens at the starting spot, I think he's going to play more. So if he plays more, I mean, those shot opportunities are going to be there. I think what most of us are thinking about, the answer is yes. I think he can hit another level. I think he can play even better than he did last year. He has so many, you know, traits that, like, I don't think people look at Malik as like, oh, he's the leader of the Sacramento Kings. I think they look at, but he's the guy. He's like the, JR used to call The Undertaker the conscience of the WWE. I think that's what Malik is. He is the, and I don't know, spiritual leader is the wrong like phrasing, but he's a guy you rally around. Everybody talks, you know, for years it was De'Aaron's not a rah-rah guy. De'Aaron tells you, dude, I'm not a rah-rah guy. Malik will grab everyone by the jersey, pull them in for the huddle, say the right thing, break the huddle, and get out there on the floor.
He's like the Marcus Smart in a way, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great comp. Marcus was huge for the development of that young Celtics team. I never thought he would be traded because of his relationship with Brad Stevens. And I think a lot of that is... I think a lot of that is true for Malik and Mike as well. And hey, our media day correspondent with the picture that sent the world on fire. Casey checking back in as soon as he gets settled. We'll bring him up on camera to talk about what he saw at media day. But Malik is the guy who he just kind of like ties everything together. We're wondering how everything fits on the floor with DeMar DeRozan and DeMontis Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. Meanwhile, Malik, he's going to make it work with everybody. And he might be the one who ties all of that together. He might be the one who is able to kind of link everything and, you know, make it work, whether he's doing that coming off the bench and tying the first unit into the second unit, or he's doing it late in games. I'm not really sure, but there's not really much Malik can't do. What was clear, though, listening to both Malik and DeMar DeRozan there, again, big thanks to Sean Cunningham for all of his tremendous audio and video work, and big thanks to Fox 40 as well, as we welcome in KC, who's with us today. Let's get that mic on.
What's good, man? Come on now. Media day.
Media day's KC. How was it?
It was fine.
Was it everything you dreamed of?
That was your first media day, right?
No, I've done one, maybe two other ones.
With the Athletic?
But it's been a while.
Okay.
It's been a while. I think that was the last one I did. It was the first time
you
I
were met. Probably more respected when you were with the Athletic than when you were...
That was the first time I met Jason
1320's
Jones.
Here again. We didn't even send them an email to be here. Just send their asses in. Just,
wow, yeah. It's good, though. It's good. James is in the building. I was in the building. We represented. Whatever the case may be.
They love James. It just seems to be us they hate. I don't know what it is. I really don't. Maybe DeMar was supposed to be a surprise. Like, I don't know what happened.
I have no idea, man.
Our summer surprise.
it was good seeing everybody. The person I didn't see until the very, very end, that mm-hmm. picture I snapped, I was like on my way out. And I was like.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I was like, I'm on my way out of here. And then I looked to my left and I was like, oh, they're about to take a picture.
It was De'Aaron.
Let me go here and take a picture. I didn't see De'Aaron the whole time.
Yeah, I don't think we have any. I don't think we have any video from De'Aaron. We just heard from Malik. Mm-hmm. We heard from DeMar. We heard from Domas. I saw you snap the video. I unblocked you. Thankfully,
no,
it was good.
It.
Well, you were doing good. I might leave you unblocked this time. But I saw Keegan talked as well.
Keegan did talk. Yeah. Keegan was in the building, man. I saw everybody, really. I even saw the two-way guys, the Sket.
We didn't play Terry Taylor. No disrespect.
Nah, man,
it was just And I was like, well, we're playing 7-minute videos from DeMar and Malik. I don't know that we need.
I didn't go over to that scrum.
Terry Taylor.
I was talking to Kendra. I was like, KMB. I was talking to Kendra for a little bit. Who's that over there? But it was good times. It was something that, real quick, I gotta salute my guy Damian Barley, man. Come on, man. This guy, hardest working man in the game. I didn't know what it was gonna look like today, man. You was out late, way away from home.
Yeah.
Here and then
four o'clock alarm. Woke up and worked out.
I was telling the wife, I was like, I don't think he got any of that in.
Yeah, I got but yeah, I got it. I got
it. He's here, guys.
Yeah. Wow. We ran a clean show for 2 hours and 37 minutes. Casey's here for 1 minute. Yeah, alarm went off at four. It was time to work. I had to get the show taken care of. I knew, you know, I knew the day was going to be a little different. Had some KSFM stuff to do. Had this stuff to do. It's the game.
Oh, man, that's why he's the goat.
Boy, go outside.
That's why he's the goat.
Yeah, had a good time. Yeah. That was an amazing show.
That was a great show.
That was an amazing show. I'm saving the big conversation because we saw the two kings this year. Yeah, I'm saving that conversation for the other. You're going to have to tune in at 420 over on
different.
KSFM.
It's different,
but man. Goodness gracious.
Man, oh, man.
Oh, RH is just tuning in. He missed this. What was the text that you got on the air on Friday? No, it was that our friends were shutting their chat down.
Did Drew Down talk about it?
Look at Drew Down's screen name.
Drew Down, like.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to apologize to Drew Down. I should have given him a heads up that, hey, be on the lookout.
Crazy.
Be on the lookout. Man.
There was something else I was going to say, too. I can't remember. But there's a lot that's going on. Like I said, it was a beautiful day today. The sun was shining. You know, Niners back in the win column. So, you know, we'll talk
Niners
about that.
Back in the win
column. What I was going to say.
Boy, your brain is running.
I just remembered.
100 miles an hour.
I got in the car, headed to the studio, and I got in just in time to hear Warriors Media Day, and man, that guy, that's a wild boy right there.
First day of school, already starting off the wrong foot.
I feel like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan would die, man.
Oh, boy. I mean, just from the onset when they were like, are you worried about his, I'm a successful black man in America.
Oh,
all right, bro.
Man.
All right, man.
When you have to.
Come on, man. That's what we're doing off the rip.
Man, when you have to hit him with the I'm a successful black man in America as the first response. Woo!
That's a wild boy.
Man.
Any chance he gets moved before this contract is over?
I think he has 2 years left.
2 years left.
I was going to say I think he quits, but I don't. No, I'm going to go no.
I don't think so either. I don't think anybody going to want him.
I don't think they have the balls to do it.
I don't think anybody will want him.
I don't think they have the balls to do it.
Mm.
Yeah, and that. They know he's going to retire.
Yeah.
No one wants to see him play without Steph Curry.
Facts.
If something happened to where Steph couldn't play.
Uh-huh.
Then they might entertain trying to trade him.
Mm.
Only
what
for,
is he? $25 million a year.
Yeah, it was 4 for $100, I think.
That's a crazy amount.
But you do it, and you just go, "Come on, man! Don't you want to retire? Retire a Warrior? Don't do this."
That's a crazy amount of money. And like I've always said, look,
Buckfather says, send him to the Wizards.
Look, there are a number of different things out there. When he's right, that he does to help teams. I understand that. 25 mil.
That's a long time ago, though.
It is a long time ago. And 25 mil right now for what he brings to the table, that's a major overpay. Major overpay.
Yeah. It definitely is, man. I'm glad you're here. There's a lot to talk about. Actually, there's probably just two things we'll focus on. The rest of it, there is some football stuff we didn't get to today, but we could save that for tomorrow. I just mentioned college. We can dive into that iconic weekend.
I got a take. I put it in there, but I got a take, man.
I saw it. We got to talk. Obviously, everyone wants to hear your thoughts on the 49ers. Mm. And in that trade on Friday night.
Well, we had text. I had a take there, too.
I'm not going to lie, bro. You kind of pissed me off when you sent that take in the group text, too. It's like, all right, how we're starting this already, bro.
This is why we don't talk to each other when we leave, is because Kenny will piss somebody off. We'll come back. KC is here. Stilo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. You can't do stuff like that and then go, hey, we're back. Man. That is wild.
I've never seen that before. That
he's a wild boy crazy. For that one.
Absolutely crazy.
He's a wild boy from that one.
You imagine that's how Michael Scott declared it.
Oh, man. I appreciate the love you showed me when you walked in, because I'm about to go on what's probably milligram like 600 of caffeine.
Well, so, you know, just whatever gets you to seven.
Well, it's complex day, so it could be eight. Who knows? I'm going to try to keep this meeting with complex as concise as possible. What do you need from us? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Great. Good night.
We're out of here. Shout out to Complex, though, man. That was a fadeaway jumper on net right there. Shout out.
Yeah, that was Jordan on Elo. Bulls win. They win. He got us some amazing seats for Usher in Oakland last night.
Yeah.
Our seats were as good as Michigan Wolverines.
Shout out Michigan Wolverines in the building.
Boy,
come
looked
on,
good.
Man.
Had the pink button down.
Oh, man,
on.
He was dressed to impress.
Ooh.
Looking like money. Looking like money out here,
yes,
boy.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, yes, man. Indeed. All right.
Real quick. We'll handle this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
People were asking about in the chat. I said, I'll wait till I get on the radio to talk about this. I don't know if you guys have or not. San Francisco Giants moving on from Farhan Zaidi. 2 years too late. Yeah. Bringing in my guy, Buster Posey. That's my boy. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad to see Buster up in here. But the streets were asking.
Well, I can't lie. It wasn't the streets.
Well,
it was me.
Oh, well.
I was looking forward to this.
It's happened.
I was looking forward to this part of the program.
While I was at Media Day, it was King's Media Day, but Farhan Zaidi showed up. Let me play the audio. I got the video on my phone. Let me play it real quick. Pull it up. Oh, there it is. Here's Farhan Zaidi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my time here with the San Francisco Giants has come to an end, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it was a failure. I've said for a long time, and I've been a big proponent of the Vazorp being more important than wins and losses. And we had a great Vazorp that didn't result in runs or preventing runs or wins or good standings. But the Vazorp was something that we really hang our hat on. And that's something that will live forever. And I just want to thank the Giants organization. Thank the great fans of, what's the team I was with again? Because I don't even watch baseball anymore. Who was it?
Why did his voice change?
The Giants. The Giants. I want to thank the fans of the Giants, this great organization. And never stop looking for a Vazorp when you watch baseball, ladies and gentlemen.
How do you spot a Vazorp?
I'm glad you answered that question.
Thanks, Doc.
Because what really happens is you see the trajectory of a pitch, and then you combine that with the back speed of the hitter, and then the projected run speed of the hitter, and the projected run speed of the fielder. And when you put all of those things together, you get the Vazorp, and that determination will let you know if the play is successful or not.
Okay. Is there a calculator for that?
I'm glad you asked that.
No, I didn't. No. All right. As soon as that news broke this morning, I was like, well.
Get the hell out of here.
So does that mean that Farhan is retired from D'Lo and KC as well?
Oh, good question.
Well, just because
I don't think he was asking Farhan. He was asking you.
What's the team
you.
I'm with? I don't even watch baseball.
All right.
What's the team? Just because.
This is a perfectly normal radio show for 2 hours and 38 minutes.
It really was.
It was just totally normal.
Just because I'm no longer with the Lions, What? It's not the Lions. Oh, that's football. Sorry. The Giants. No longer with the Giants, because I don't really watch these games or sports, but I'm a hell of a mathematician. I'll always be around. So whenever you need anything on Vazorp, with the Kings, with the McClatchy Lions, with the 49ers, anybody regarding sports, just put the formula in. I'll be here, and I'll calculate it.
Zabo's got it in the chat. We got Farhan on the Legends deal.
It's a good call. Yeah. Could you imagine how boring this show would be if it was just me, like, talking sports and Kenny wasn't here to do that?
It'd be fine.
Yeah, it wouldn't be boring. It'd just be...
It was number one...
Like, every day?
It was the number one show in the city before, yeah, at one point.
Now everybody's used to... Like, you've been here, like, 13 minutes.
I mean, radio shows...
You've done a five-minute Farhan impression and had two pause moments before we even got to commercial.
No, I was just trying to... Just trying to talk sports, man. And I can't even talk sports, man.
I mean, radio without fun is usually how they teach it anyway.
Yeah, that is. Well, you don't have to travel too far to hear that. Just follow the disabled chat. Jesus, man. Just relax a little bit.
That's crazy,
guys.
Man. That is crazy.
I'll talk about your boys.
Which one?
We'll get back to the Kings and basketball. I don't know if James is joining the show. I wasn't sure either. I have no idea. So it doesn't matter. We got all the time in the world. But in radio, they call this a reset.
Oh, Farhan, now you're a radio member, huh? Well, congratulations.
Well, Farhan sounds stunningly like my. I don't know what voice. Well, I think we all know what voice this is. It's just, I'll leave it to the imagination. It's called a reset. Okay. And top stories are the Kings Media Day.
That's right.
I think we'll have some Keegan Murray sound coming for you in just a minute. And your San Francisco 49ers.
Well,
Las Vegas Raiders both getting dubs. Yeah. I think you're far more interested in the 49ers.
Shout out to the Raiders as well, though. You know, shout out to the Raiders. Contrary to popular belief, I ain't got no problem with the Raiders. It's all good. Just the John Poles of the world start talking crazy, and then we just got to bring up facts.
No, but John didn't even do anything.
No need for that right now. They both got dubs. The 49ers got a win that they needed to get. It was a JWTDG type game. Just win the damn game. And they handle business. Did they look great? No. But they didn't look bad. Like they looked, if I try to equate what the percentage of top flight 49er football would be, I'd say they probably looked about 80% of that on Sunday. No, there was some turnovers. They didn't play a clean game. I would have liked to seen them get in the end zone a little bit on those first two drives.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It was a good performance. It was a good performance against a team that you should look that way against. Now, ironically enough, we may be completely wrong about, we weren't definitive either, but we were interested in the Arizona Cardinals. Maybe they're not as good as we thought they could be, but I don't think they're New England by any means.
Oh, they're not. New England is a bottom two team in the league.
Yeah. If they come out and they have the same type of performance against the Cardinals, even though the Cardinals will be 1-4 at the time, they won't be going to the playoffs or nothing like that. That'll tell me a little bit more than the performance I saw from them yesterday, if that makes any sense. Because
mm-hmm.
I think Arizona – I don't know what Arizona is, but I think they're – I know – they're better than the Patriots. I'm confident in that. And if you can, because it was an easy game for the 49ers. They handled the Patriots. You can handle the Cardinals like that. I'm a little more inclined at that point to say, all right, you're pretty much back on track.
Okay.
So I felt good. Brock looked good yesterday.
Brock continues to look great. The highest quarterback rating for any quarterback since the 1970 merger through their first 25 games.
Wow.
That includes Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
112.6 to 112.5. Those are Brock Purdy's and Patrick Mahomes' number, and third isn't close. I don't think the person who was third in it might have been Kurt Warner, but I can't remember. They were in like the 90s.
I think I had that too.
Like Brock and Patrick Mahomes have been clearly the best. I know exactly where I got it from, so I could look it up real quick as I close my Draymond Green tab.
Oh,
take
man.
That off my screen.
This guy.
No disrespect to the successful black man in America, but I'm going to see if I can find that stat.
But Brock looks good, man. Brock, and the thing about it with Brock too that I'm really encouraged by is he looks like he's in complete control of the offense. He looks like he feels real comfortable out there. He's still a young quarterback.
I stand corrected. They were in the hundreds. It was Kurt Warner, but it was 106.2, six full points below where Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy are. Dan Marino is fourth, and some quarterback named Deshaun Watson. Oh, I'm sorry. The Houston Texans version of Deshaun Watson is five.
We'll talk about it maybe today or tomorrow. I don't know. I mean, he might need to be benched.
He's not a starting quarterback in the league anymore.
He might need to be benched.
He is not a starting quarterback in the league.
And
he
wasn't
is a mess.
And we've seen this again. And this who's the quarterback that got hurt? That hurt his shoulder this year? Was there somebody? Because we were talking about shoulders.
It was Deshaun?
No, it was somebody this year, and we were like, we don't know. And we were talking about maybe it was Deshaun. I thought it was somebody else, but
well, we were relating it again to Cam. We were relating it to Cam and Andrew Luck.
And it looks like it's got it again. Because Deshaun looks awful. He can't throw. He has no accuracy. I don't know if that has anything to do with your decision making, but he, like you say, he's not a starting quarterback. In Cleveland today, B-Low and JC in Cleveland. Do they have a Jesse Tapia in that Cleveland show? I don't know. Maybe
I haven't.
Nobody hates Cleveland like me, brother.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They might not have a. Does that Jesse Tapia? Does he hate Sacramento? Is that how that
could
works?
Could be,
maybe. But they got to be having conversations about to salvage this season. We may have to go to the backup. Got to get him out of here.
I don't know that there's any.
You can't. You're paying Deshaun too much money.
No, you're just gonna lose though.
Yeah. Just going to lose, pal.
They have
to. Bro, and they made it worse. They restructured his contract to free up cap space. They have money to spend. They might have to spend it on a quarterback. Because his dead cap, isn't his dead cap like $100 million?
I thought one of the times it was like 137.
I think it's 70. I'll look it up. I think 1 year, because it's 2 years. I think one is like 70 something, and then one is like 100 something. Mm. Just like numbers I've never even seen before.
Never seen those numbers before. So it's all bad. But Brock Purdy, like I say, he's still a young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's still like kind of, I think maybe now he's played every team in the league before, or maybe every coach or something like that. But he's still seeing some things from the first time. And he's got a command of how to play out there. And he's a playmaker. Though what they take away, two touchdowns yesterday?
Yeah.
From Brock?
Yeah.
Playmaker.
It's $172 million.
Come on now. That shouldn't even be allowed.
If you cut Deshaun Watson, you'd have to sell the Cleveland Browns.
That shouldn't even be allowed in the CBA.
That is crazy.
Deshaun Watson is the only guy in the NFL getting played like an NBA player.
It's $172 million next year and $99.8 million the following year.
And I know the contracts are different or whatever. It's not the same. Deshaun's been in Cleveland for 2 years.
He has been in Cleveland. Yes, this is his third season.
How many, you say he's getting played like an NBA player. How many NBA players 2 years into their deals have $170 million left? I don't even know if that happens.
Mm.
And I know that's not exactly how Deshaun, it's the cap
well,
hit
none.
More than.
Yeah, it's the cap.
You know what I mean? But
yeah.
That's crazy. That is insane.
What was his deal again? 250? Was that his
I thought
deal?
It was 260.
230. Yeah, 5 years, 230.
It's all 5, 230. Okay. Man.
Dak beat the guaranteed this year, right?
No.
Or am I mistaken, misremembering how they did that?
No, Dak beat, well, 230, he might have. He might have, because he had another one of those huge, like, year one things, like he had the year, not the year prior, the contract. So it says his
contract is 231 million guaranteed. Yeah, Deshaun, they did that one, so.
Wow.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, that's an awful situation.
How is his cap hit? So his cap, so that this is funny. Wow, it's funny how they do this. This is so fake. His cap hit, Dak's cap hit this year is his dead cap hit is $195 million.
Oh my gosh.
Next year it's 151, and then magically it's 62.